kingdoms shall pass away. But there's something about that name. Thank you for Linda for sharing that with us. There's something about the name of Jesus. Amen. Kings and kingdoms will pass. But Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and he's the end. And he is aware of all things that's going on today. And we should acknowledge him. We should cling to him. And we should pray and seek his plans, seek his will. Today we're going to be in Daniel chapter 8. And as you turn there, just let me remind you that chapters in Daniel 1, Daniel chapter 1 through Daniel chapter 6 is Daniel's experience, his testimonies of what his life has been and some of his friends has been. Then you get to chapter 7 and you begin to go back to where Daniel was with Belshazzar and Babylon was the ruling kingdom. And chapter 7 is back there with that particular time frame. And he gets these visions and these dreams about what's going to take place. Not only interpreting the king's dreams, but God is giving and revealing to him what's going to take place. And if God did that, folks, listen, if God did that for Daniel, God reveals to you and I today for what we need to do today and what we need to do tomorrow and what we need to do for the future. God has the plans for every one of us. Amen? Amen just means agreeing. God has the plans for each and every one of us. And we should seek his plans and not just haphazardly go about life and just say, well, whatever will be. No, God has a specific plan for you and I. He has a plan for each one of you. And so we should seek that. And as we look at the framework of this second vision that Daniel had, we know that he has plans. He had plans then, he has plans now, and he has plans for the future. And if we frame that up, we look at Daniel chapter 8, and the framework of that is, these are some things that took place after Daniel observed it, and it's going to take place even after you and I have taken the vision that God has for us. It's what's coming forward. Okay, it's what's coming soon. It's coming soon. So, the second prophecy of Daniel, beginning in chapter 8. Let me turn back there. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw, that I saw a Shushan in the palace, which is the province of Elam. And I saw unto in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulaah. Normally, the underdog doesn't win. But look at the first vision that states clearly what's going to take place to Babylon. Okay? Verses 3 through 4. I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. And I saw a ram pushing westward and northward and southward, that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of the hand, but he did according to his will and became great. Father in heaven, we humbly come before you today. Reveal to us your plan. God, you're an awesome God and you're a big God. You're the awesome creator of all things, and you can reveal to each one of us and the ones that are watching and ones that are listening, you can reveal to each one of us your specific plan for each one of us. And today, Lord, as we share your word and reveal your word, May you speak to each of us. May we not just memorize it, learn it, know what it says, and know how it should be. Help us, Lord, to take action and obey you. To do what you want us to do. For some here today, Lord, playing religion doesn't get them to heaven. They don't have a personal relationship with you. And today, Holy Spirit, would you draw them? Draw them to salvation. Some here today, Lord, have drifted away. And today's the day they need to come back home to ask forgiveness of their sins, and you cleanse them from all unrighteousness, and to give them a fresh new start, and your grace and mercy would abide, and that, God, that they would feel the renewal of their hearts. Today, Lord, I pray for those that come with broken hearts, thinking, Lord, that I just don't know. I don't know where to go, and I don't know where to turn. Today, Lord, I pray they would find you with your arms open wide to hug them and love them and say, I care. Lord, help each one of us watching, listening, and present to place you in the priority number one in our life, that all that we do, that we do it for you, that our focus and our aim is to please and honor you. Speak today, Lord. Not my words, but yours. And may we obey. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Verses 3 and 4, we're talking about a ram with two horns. It's not a Dodge ram, by the way. It is an animal representation. The ram stood by the river and had one horn higher than the other, which if you read on over in verse 20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of the Media and the Persia. Okay? And in that tells us that the Medes and the Persians is the two horns, meaning that Persia was more dominant, okay, than the Medes. So that's why the horn was higher than the other. And they pushed their way from the west, north, and south. And they took over power from Babylon, which did take place in Daniel's time frame. Okay. Now when he saw this, it was about at age 15, 16 years old. But it did take place, and he did see it come to pass. Okay. This took place exactly as was said. Okay. Don't you remember that? Chapter 8, verse 5. And as I was considering, behold, a goat came up from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in a fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and when he was moved with choler against him, he smote the ram and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and stampled upon him, and there was none other could deliver him, the ram, out of his hand. Okay? Normally the goat don't win when he's facing the ram, but in this case he was soaring. His feet didn't touch the ground. The male goat is clearly identified with Greece, and its horns is identified with the rulers of the Greek Empire. Okay? Some of you may not like history, but this is a part of what God is saying that took place exactly as he said. So hang in there with me, okay? Because it gets better. All right? So this is Greece. Came up from the west and he didn't touch the ground. That meant he was very swift and he was very fast, and he took over. This vision, the ram, had no power to withstand the fury and the power of the goat. Okay? The goat breaks the horns. took over. This is Greece taking over the Medes and Persians. And it took place just exactly as it was said. This took place exactly as it was said. Verses 8 through 12. Therefore the goat was very waxed for great. And when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And where it came up, four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Okay. Out of one of them came forth a little horn and waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great, even the host of heaven, and it came down some out of the host of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself, even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And a host was given to him against a daily sacrifice by reason of transgression, and it cast down to the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Verses 8 through 12 is the great height of the Greeks and their power. The great horn was broken. Okay, the ruler Alexander, great Alexander, died. He did not appoint somebody to take over. And four kings began to rule. Those were divided to four generals or kings. One of those rose to the occasion and prevailed with power. Okay? That took place just exactly as it was said. Daniel could not have known that. Daniel could not have known the exact details of what was fixing to take place in the future. Atticus was one that rose up out of those four horns. He was the one that magnified himself as a god, and he defiled the Jewish temple. He did a lot of bad things in the temple. He did a lot of bad things in his kingdom. Atticus was famous. He persecuted the Jewish people. Okay, he wanted them to submit to the Greek culture and the customs, and was willing to use whatever methods he could to get them to comply and obey. Whether it be murder or violence, he did that to get them to submit to his rule, his power, and to take on the Greeks' culture. Atticus' suppression of the Jews came at a head. As everything, as Linda played a minute ago, kings and kingdoms shall fall. This so will be. In December of 168 B.C., when he returned to defeat from Alexandria, he ordered the generals to seize Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. There he set up an idol of Zeus and desecrated the altar by offering swine and sprinkling pig juices on the sanctuary, that he defiled the temple and the sanctuary. Sacrifice stopped because the temple was desecrated. So it ceased. Verses 13 and 14, we find Atticus defiled the temple, and it was defiled for last 2,300 years. The temple was rededicated by Judas Maximus in 164 B.C. This took place exactly as Daniel prophesied and said. This event that this took place is still celebrated today, that the temple was put back in place. It's still practiced today. It's called the Feast of Hanukkah. The Jewish people still do it today. Verses 15 through 22, we understand that there's coming soon end times. And it came to pass, even as I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as an appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of Eli, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for that the time of the end shall be the vision. Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. And he said, behold, I will make thee what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For as the time appointed, the end shall be. The ram which thou sawest having two horns, the king of the Medo-Persians. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, the four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. God has a plan for all of us. He has a plan for each one, and he's coming soon. If you continue to read verse 23, in the latter time of the kingdom, when the transgressors are come to full, a king out of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. What we're talking about here, folks, has not took place yet. This that we're talking about now is the Antichrist. And the power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, for he shall destroy wonderfully and shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. And the vision of the evening and the morning was told is true. Wherefore shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And then Daniel fainted and he was sick. Certain days afterward I rose up and did the king's business and astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Today, many people still don't understand it, and I'll be honest. All the depths of the vision where it's spoken in Daniel, I don't understand it all as well. But this one thing that I do understand is that God will rule, God will reign, and what God says will come to pass just exactly as he said. I don't understand all the depths of that, and I could study, and it says if you want to do the reference over into Revelation chapter 8, all the things that's going to take place when Antichrist raises his head and starts the kingdoms, and he does the 3.5 years of making peace, and in the next 3.5 years is going to be hell on earth like nobody's ever seen before. I could go into depths of that, but I would rather just share what God's word says to the best of my ability, and share about what God's done for me and what he can do for you. Because I'm telling you this, the times are progressing and you can see it all around us. That the time's coming soon when you have to take a stand right now to be either for him or against him. You're either going to be in that narrow way or you're going to be in the broad way to destruction. Which are you going to be? The decision is yours. But I'm telling you, in the times that we have faced before us right now, you need to be staying close to God, close to his word. Let him reveal to you through his word and through prayer and through his revelation to you what he wants you to be doing today. And stay focused on what he wants you to do. Because as the last week that we're spending some time away, it came to my mind, what is the primary thing that I'm focused on? What is the primary motive and driver of my life right now? And I begin to ask myself, what is that that drives me? And I'll ask you this morning, what is it that drives you that is priority number one? Is it to make more money? Is it to make more fame, make more friends, to be socially acceptable with other people? Is it to prosper and make people like you? What is the primary thing that drives you to be you? What is that that motivates you? That you want to make this position, that you want to have this power, you want to have this control, you want to have this much money, you want to have this much influence, you want to have these many friends, you want to have a big social network, you got to have all the new tools and play toys that's out there available. What is it that drives you to be you? And when I got down to it this past week, I had to say to myself, God, be it anything else that's been driving me and motivating me, whether it's everybody getting along, whether it's having a big, big church, having all kinds of friends and people like you, God, let it be that my ultimate goal, my ultimate change is to please you. That everything that I do, God, pleases you. And when I do that, folks, I'm going to be honest, I have to set self aside and say, I don't do these things to please me. I shouldn't do those things to please me. Everything that I do should please God. That's what I'm here for, is to honor and praise and please God. Our testimony should be that.
Yes.
That we want other people to know our Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And we pray today that if anybody's watching or anybody's here that's not saved, that today be your day. Turn, if you would, to Psalms 91. Here's my prayer for you. Here's my prayer for those of you watching. Here's a prayer for those that are listening. Here's a prayer for my family, our family. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. My prayer for you is that you abide under the wings of the Almighty, that He's your shield and your buckler. He is your refuge and He's your rock. I read a story and heard a story. An attorney by the name of David Gibbs, a Christian attorney that helps and assists churches in hard decisions and law cases and lawsuits, of which there's too many today, but he helps, and that's what his profession is. He was in Alaska with another attorney in his practice, and they were on their way back, and they had to fly into Anchorage, Alaska. And on his way to the ticket booth, he already had his ticket, but he was going to go through and do the checkout, and there was a pastor that came by and approached him and said, "Mr. Gibbs, I'm a pastor and I'm also a pilot. Would you allow me the privilege of flying you to your destination?" He said, "Well, I've already got my tickets." And he said, "Well, you can put those away and use them at another time." And he said, I'm good. I said, "I'm fine. Thank you for the offer, but I'm really not one to." And so persistently this pastor said, "I want you to fly with me." And he said, "Okay." So as he finally persisted and talked him into flying with him on this little plane, when he went around and looked and saw this little plane that seated four people, pastor got in, Gibbs got in, and his other associate attorney got in with him. And they took off on all the smooth ride, and they went into the clouds, and they were heading to their destination. It began to get a little bit of clouds coming in, and the pilot looked over at him and said, I need to tell you something. I sometimes pass out in clouds because I get equilibrium and I pass out. And he said, about that time, this pilot's eyes rolled back in his head and he passed out. We're in the clouds. I've never flown a plane in my life. Had no clue what to do. My associate had no idea how to fly a plane either. His associates looked at him and he said, Gibbs, are we going to die? He said, it is very likely. He said, there's a radio. We need to get on the radio. He got on the radio and he said, hello, hello. A voice came back and said, hello, do you not know radio etiquette? He said, no. And I'm in a plane with a passed out pilot. Neither one of us know how to talk on the radio. Neither one of us know how to fly this plane. We're in trouble. He said, well, let me try to locate you. The very next conversations was vitally important. In the control center, he said, I have you on my radar. You can't see me, but I see you. You need to listen to my voice. You need to do exactly as I say to do. Okay? David Gibbs said, absolutely. He said, you need to listen to my voice and trust everything that I tell you to do specifically as I tell you to do it when I do it, because I can see you, but you can't see me. I will navigate you down for a landing if you will listen to my voice and know what I'm telling you. Do you see this device? He said, yes. He walked him through every device to navigate that plane to come out of the clouds where he saw the runway. The runway, when he came out of the clouds, was in the shape of a cross. He said, do you see it? He said, yes, it looks like a cross. He said, at the end of the cross is where we're going to try to navigate you to land this plane. Listen to my voice and do exactly as I tell you to do. Lower and lower and lower. David Gibbs said, I landed that plane 5 times. Boom, 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 boom. Safely to the ground. Stopped the plane. Can you imagine how he felt? The joy that filled his soul to be on the ground safely. Some of you I know have that verse memorized. Lo, I'm with you always. That's why you don't fly. David Gibbs and his associate went into the airport, got their ride to go to their hotel. In the hotel room, there was a knock on the door. Opened the door, and there stood the man when he said, I'm the man that you listen to the voice to do exactly as I said. Welcome home. Welcome home. Is God speaking to you about something? Will you be willing to do exactly as he says? So that one day, when you see him face to face, he'll say to you, welcome home. Right now you can't see him, but he sees you. And he knows exactly what's going on with you. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he cares for you. He loves you deeply. And he desires for you to know him personally. To know him in such a way that you can talk to him and he reveals things to you to do. And you can know that he's there with you. That he'll never leave you nor forsake you. And that one day, coming soon, you will meet him face to face. What a joy that'll be when my Savior I shall meet. I pray you will as well. As a devoted Christian, Jesus Christ has promises just for you. He loves you. Listen to his voice as he speaks to you. Respond to him exactly as he's asking you to do. Father in heaven, what a joy it is to know that we can talk to you and know that you hear us. Some may have not spoke to you as personal Savior and Lord, and I pray that today that this will be the day they will say yes to your drawing them to salvation. Some here today, Lord, need to come and talk to you about some things. They've not been listening to your voice. They've not been obeying your word. And God, whatever that is, I know that you have much, much better things for them. May we listen and obey. May we hear your voice and know that it's your voice, not the voice of the deceiver, but your voice clearly. May we not just memorize it, study and know it, but may we do it. Do what pleases you. Some are broken. Some have heavy hearts. You know exactly what's going on. This altar is wide open for them to come and humbly bow before and then talk to you and listen to you. Do a work today, Lord, right now. In this place, even in the living rooms or wherever people may be watching today, do a work. Move in such a way that it could only be you, and you receive all the credit and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, and respond?